Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
That special meeting in the temple in this case took place last Sunday morning in a setting of fasting and prayer. As a participant, I must say it was a sweet, sacred experience in which the Lord's will was clearly manifest and all were in full accord. This experience confirmed once again that Jesus Christ directs His church. We're pleased to announce to you this morning that President Russell M. Nelson was set apart as the 17th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on January 14, 2018.
That is Elder Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of 12 Apostles announcing Russell M. Nelson as the first president and prophet of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints 4 years ago. People went into that. It was a big announcement. People went into that not expecting much because Nelson had kind of been a party line company man in the Mormon Church. What kind of changes has he made in the last 4 years? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Friday afternoon, the 21st of January. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry joins us to talk about the top changes made by Mormon President Russell M. Nelson. Then we'll talk a biblical view of marriage with Pastor Todd Bierman, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Sacrificial, Unconditional, Incarnational. Joining us to discuss the last 4 years of President Russell M. Nelson in the Mormon Church, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you.
What were the expectations for a Nelson presidency 4 years ago?
Well, I think a lot of people probably assumed that he would carry on what he had seen for much of his apostleship, because Russell M. Nelson has certainly been around for a long time. He's now in his 90s. But the interesting things, well, I guess you could say it kind of depended on where you are, even politically, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm sure a lot of people just assumed he was going to carry on Monson's legacy, who was in turn carrying on Gordon B. Hinckley's legacy. But he has done some things that has caught the attention of many. But personally, Todd, I don't see a lot of changes that are all that big of a deal for me. I would much rather see Russell M. Nelson make some changes, let's say, in the area of theology that has always kept the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints outside of the parameters of Christianity. For me, at least, a lot of the changes that he has made are not really all that significant, although some of them are a bit confusing, and I'm sure they were even confusing to some members of the church.
What role does the first president and prophet play in Mormonism?
Well, the prophet is, you could say, he's the top dog. Nobody speaks above the prophet of the church. He speaks for the entire church. Below him is what's known as the first presidency. He has two counselors. Now, these three men, you could say, make up the top of the hierarchy in the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Below them is the Quorum of the 12, or the 12 Apostles. Now, the way it works in the LDS system is you, as a priesthood holder, cannot speak above your level. And what I mean by that is, if you were an apostle in the church, you have no right to correct a member of the first presidency or even the president of the church. If you're a member of the first presidency, you do not have a right to correct or speak to, you could say, to the prophet of the church. The prophet has all authority in this church. Whatever the prophet says, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, he has counselors, but his final decree is supposed to be accepted as being the mind and will of the Lord when it goes out to the people.
You said you didn't see a ton of changes in the last 4 years, but what would you say is the biggest change in your opinion under Nelson?
Well, I would think most people would probably agree with me on this. The big thing that caught a lot of attention is right after Russell M. Nelson became the president of the church, he came out in August. Now, remember, he became president in January of 2018. In August, he starts talking about how they need, as members of the church, to get back to calling the church by its proper title that is found in Section 115, verse 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants. That official title, according to Joseph Smith, in a revelation, says that the Lord's church is supposed to be called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Nelson said, we need to get back to doing that. And he kind of chastised members in, I guess you could say, a nice way, that calling the church by the nickname Mormon Church or even using LDS Church. He said later on in a conference message in October of that same year that doing that was offensive to Jesus and even gave a victory to Satan. Now, the inconsistency of that is that, yes, that has always been the correct title of the church going back to 1838, but the church was founded in 1830, and originally the church was known as the Church of Christ. In 1834, Joseph Smith apparently approved of a name change, calling it then the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Nelson made a big deal out of the fact that when they do not call the church by its proper name, the reason why they were offending the Savior and giving a victory to Satan is because he feels that the Lord is not getting the proper credit. And the problem, of course, is that many Latter-day Saints and even some leaders had no problem calling it the Mormon Church, although everybody recognized that its proper name was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Well, if it's really offending Jesus not to refer to the church with the name of Christ or the name of Jesus Christ in it, then what do you do for the 4 years between 1834 and 1838 when the church was known officially as the Church of the Latter-day Saints? I don't have a problem with Nelson wanting to encourage his people to call the church by its proper name. It's just that he seems to forget his own history. That has not always been the way it was done. Now, of course, even Gordon B. Hinckley knew that calling the church by its proper name was a bit cumbersome and very awkward, and he never really expected a lot of non-Latter-day Saints to comply by always referring to it by its proper name. And it's interesting, Todd, in 1990, Russell M. Nelson gave a talk in General Conference where he basically said the same thing he said in August and October of 2018. And it's interesting because he says that in the April General Conference, and then in October, Gordon B. Hinckley comes out, makes reference to what Nelson said, and kind of took it very lightly, saying, I don't think we're ever going to be able to convince people. They could call us things that are much worse. And he even tried to tell people that the word Mormon, referring to the members, meant more good. Now, he knew it didn't technically mean that, but he said we should try to get people to think that Mormon means more good, because in that talk that Nelson gave on August and October, he also emphasized the fact that Latter-day Saints should not call themselves Mormons, that they should call themselves Latter-day Saints, that calling themselves Mormons, I guess, also offends Jesus for that matter.
What did you make of Jana Reese's top 10 list in Religion News?
I found her list to be not all that surprising. Jana Reese, though a faithful Latter-day Saint, she tends to lean politically more to the left. She's kind of a rebel. I mean, even the title in her article, The Top 10 Changes President Russell M. Nelson Has Made in the LDS Church. Did you notice she uses the prohibited word, or I guess initials in this case, but LDS. And then the subtitle says, while many Mormons, including me, expected Nelson's presidency to be staid and uneventful, it has been full of pleasant surprises. Now, here again, she uses the title Mormon. Russell M. Nelson said members should not do that. But I think just kind of shows a bit that she is a kind of a rebel. But you know what? I have a lot of appreciation for Jana Reese. I think she's honest. She's telling us what she really believes. I appreciate that when I'm reading something from a Latter-day Saint or even talking to a Latter-day Saint on the streets. I love that candid honesty. But I do think that some of the things on her list tend to reveal her more liberal politics. For instance, point number one, reversing the 2015 LGBT exclusion policy. Now, most people reading that probably wouldn't really understand what she meant by that. But what happened was back in 2015, the church came down with this policy that if you were a child living in the household of a same-sex couple, you couldn't get baptized. And this caused a lot of problem with some members, and of course, it caused problems with Jana Reese. Now, the reason why we took a special notice of this is because Russell M. Nelson made it very clear that that policy was given to the leadership by revelation from God. And yet, a few years later, about 3.5 years later, the church completely reversed its position on that, saying it was okay if you were a child living in that kind of a household, you could be baptized and so forth and so on. And so I think Jana Reese is kind of ignoring how her church is supposed to operate. Usually revelations are understood to be somewhat doctrines in the church, but this is kind of a fuzzy area in LDS theology because while doctrines can't be overturned, policy can. And it's interesting how sometimes when the church has had to override some of its past teachings, all of a sudden that teaching becomes a policy, making it okay to change it, whereas before it was understood to be a doctrine. And so I can understand why, perhaps because of her politics, Jana Reese would be in favor of that. But still, I wonder how that rested with a lot of the more conservative members of the church. Of course, I have no way of really knowing all that.
Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about top changes made by Mormon President Russell M. Nelson over the last 4 years. How has Nelson changed things regarding the roles of women, if at all? We'll answer that question next.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bill McKeever is our guest of Mormonism Research Ministry as we talk about the top changes made by Mormon President Russell M. Nelson. Bill, how has Nelson changed things regarding the roles of women in Mormonism?
Well, Jana Reese, in her list, he said that he's actually given a more active role in ritual life. According to point number two, she said in 2019, the church changed its endowment ceremony to give more authority to women, taking out a promise that women would hearken, quote unquote, to their husbands while men would hearken directly to God. Now, this is kind of interesting for me because I think Jana Reese is ignoring the fact that the endowment ceremony is supposed to be given by God himself. It originally was given by God himself to Joseph Smith. Now, it does seem kind of odd because over the years, the LDS Church has made numerous changes to the endowment ceremony. That would be the ritual in LDS temples where they, for instance, make covenants to God and they learn secret handshakes and passwords and such. So, giving credit to Nelson seems a little bit odd to me because if she was to be consistent, you would think the credit would be going to God himself. But that again raises the issue, what's the matter with this God that he keeps making changes after a while? I mean, he puts in a dictum at one point and then he has to change it several years later. See, I think for us on the outside, this tends to show us that it's doubtful that an all-knowing God would be doing that, which of course makes you wonder, is the God of Mormonism really all-knowing? I personally don't think he is, and that's why I don't think he's the same God that's mentioned in our Bibles.
So how has Nelson made changes, if any, to the kind of famous missionary program of the LDS Church?
That's something that Jana Reese mentioned. She said that Nelson has de-emphasized the old tough-it-out approach to mission life in which missionaries were only permitted to call home twice a year. Now, that would be on Mother's Day and Christmas. She goes on to say now they can engage in weekly video chats with their families, and the church is providing more mental health services for missionaries who experience anxiety or need to return early. I found this intriguing because Jana Reese wrote an article back in 2018, it came out in September 26, in which she recognized the fact that more of the church's missionaries were going home early. And she said among some millennials, it was as high as one-third of them were going home early. So I think this change that Nelson made, and this probably would fall under the category of a policy, was meant more to keep their missionaries out in the field. They had many of them getting out in the field, didn't feel like they could cut it, and then they were going home. And of course, this causes a lot of problems for the returned missionary. Coming home early is not something that's looked upon very well by most of the memberships in the church. But what they did is they gave a place for those missionaries that didn't feel like they would be able to go on what's known as a proselytizing mission, let's say for 2 years in a foreign country even, or away from their home. So they came up with this idea of the service missionary. Service missionaries are actually serving the church, but they're serving them in a more local capacity, usually very close to the home where they live. So they had to make some adjustments there. Personally, I think it was pure pragmatics. If you're going to keep these kids out on the field, you better give them something that's going to want them to stay out there. And so opening up the opportunity to talk to their family once a week certainly would help in that regard in alleviating any potential homesickness that missionary may experience.
Why did the LDS end its relationship with the Boy Scouts during Nelson's tenure?
They ended it because the Boy Scouts of America was going very far to the left when it came to homosexual members in the Boy Scouts, transgender members in the Boy Scouts. They kind of put up with it for a while, but after about 3 years, when you saw something serious was about to take place, that's when they finally cut it off. And some say that it's because the Boy Scouts then were going to allow homosexual leaders in the Boy Scouts. And I think that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. And so the church had kind of been preparing for that move. And so they were beefing up their youth program, not only with young men, but also young women as well. And that's the one thing that Jana Reese liked about this, is that by cutting off their relationship with the Boy Scouts, now the church could focus on their own programs to help youth and be a little more equitable, I guess she would probably say, in putting money towards young women projects as well as young males.
What is a bishop's interview, and how has Nelson changed policy on that?
Well, they used to have these interviews where the young people would go in and they would speak to their local ecclesiastical leaders, in this case, like a bishop, and they were known as bishop's interviews. This caused a lot of concern among parents because these bishops were asking some very personal questions, and they would only learn about this when their child would come home and kind of relate some of the things that their child talked with the bishop about. Now, Nelson changes this about 2 years into his presidency. And personally, Todd, I always thought that was a dumb thing to do. I mean, putting a child in a room with an adult by themselves, I mean, I normally don't even do things like that. So it's just not safe. It doesn't protect either person, especially in our day and age of litigation and such. So I thought this was a good idea that they would change that. But here's something that's missed in Jana Reese's praise. Russell M. Nelson was an apostle in the church for many, many years, decades. How come he never suggested this change be made before? I mean, doesn't he have that kind of authority to at least advise the leaders in the church that are above him? Hey, this may not be a good idea. We're hearing some complaints, some problems. Why don't we make a course correction? But we don't see that before he made that correction in 2018.
Finally, then, are any of these changes listed a change in Mormon doctrine?
No, and that's kind of disconcerting to me. I would be happy if he was making some changes in doctrine, but you really don't see that. Again, my complaint with the LDS Church is on a doctrinal basis. I think their doctrine and their history is very questionable, and I think Christians need to take note of this before they would ever embrace a member of the LDS Church as a fellow Christian. That is, if they are really holding on to those unique teachings of the LDS Church. I'm certainly not against being friends with Latter-day Saints. I think we should be, but I think on a doctrinal level, that's where we're going to run into some problems. Remember, not only has Russell M. Nelson not really changed any of these unique teachings that have always separated the LDS Church from the rest of Christianity, they were celebrating in 2020 in their general conference the first vision, because it was the anniversary of the first vision where Joseph Smith claimed he was visited by both God the Father and Jesus Christ and was told by these personages that all the churches are wrong, their creeds are an abomination, and their professors are all corrupt. By gearing the theme of that general conference around that first vision, basically they were kind of doubling down. Our church is the only true church. All other churches claiming to be Christian are in a state of apostasy. See, for me personally, that doesn't endear me to having fellowship with members of the LDS Church. That is a red flag that I think we need to take notice of.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, and Mormonism 101. You'll find a link to Bill's books and to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Bill, thanks.
My pleasure.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., we will talk about a biblical view of marriage with Pastor Todd Bierman. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Male and female he created them. Thus the Lord made Adam and Eve, and then put them in relationship to each other as husband and wife. This relationship of husband and wife is a frequent theme throughout the scriptures, and it also happens to be the theme of the January issue of the Lutheran Witness. We talk about husbands and wives, how modern media, particularly children's movies, portray fathers. Visit cph.org/witness to order your copy, or visit our website witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.